Well, it's good to be able to come together again another time in the name of the Lord. And I'm glad the Lord tonight remembers His covenant. And I'm glad that He'll not forsake that covenant. And I'm glad that He's with us in every station of our life and every season of our life. You know, in this world, in this life, as humans, we understand what broken covenants are. We understand to what it means to some degree anyway to have someone we appreciate, someone maybe we love, someone we counted on to forsake us. But I'm glad the Lord will never leave us, never forsake us. And I'm glad He's with us right up until the end and be our guide until death. So He'll not forsake the covenant that He made with us, so we don't have to be afraid. And in the seasons of life, our fears are those things that would frighten us. They change. We may have something today, maybe last week or a month or two ago, there was something else we were dreading, made our hearts beat a little fast. And there'll be something tomorrow, the next day, or year down the road that will cause you and me to tremble at the sight, at the sound, at the power. So I'm glad that the Lord is greater than all the elements, greater than all storms, and I am glad that He's going to never leave us and He never will reject us. So thank the Lord tonight that in the ways unknown, He is with us still, one songwriter said. I am so glad that God is. I'm glad that He gives us messages in His Word. Not this message per se, but that God speaks to us and visits us with His Word. I'm so glad He heals. I'm so glad that we were born to serve the Lord. So glad that God has visited us. So glad God is concerned about us. So glad that God loves His children and He loves mankind. I'm so glad God wants to come down to you and me and open up the window of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we'll not be able to contain. I'm glad tonight that down through the ages of time, God has seen man's dilemma. And in the fullness of time, if you remember, oh, it's been some time back now, had a little message, enough is enough. And I'm thinking the Lord may have looked down and said, that's it, enough is enough, it's time now. The fullness of time has come and my son is coming. And I want them to reverence him and I want them to love him. And oh, if they'll do that, I'll pour them out blessings and anoint their lives, their families, and I'll make them lights and cities set on a hill. So I thank the Lord tonight for salvation. It encourages me when I hear what the Lord has done. I wasn't born and taught to trust God. I was born and I was taught to somewhat degree of reverence for God, maybe a higher degree than some in the world. But I was also taught that you had to work on your own problems. You also had to go to physicians. And when I began to hear about God heals and the divinely and as part of the atonement, it was totally foreign to me, totally foreign. And I kicked against it and I raised up my voice against it to myself. But did you know the Lord in His mercy came back? The Lord came back. And you know, after a while, I got to understand it. No, the Lord is the healer too. And I can also add my testimony. The Lord is my healer tonight. And I just praise the Lord tonight for salvation. I am encouraged in the Lord. And I believe, was it Paul who wrote, the outward man may perish, but praise the Lord tonight. The inward man can be renewed day by day. So thank the Lord. There's a scripture in Luke, the first chapter, that I want us to hopefully take courage in tonight. The Lord, a scripture that I had thought about mentioning this morning, but it didn't seem like the Lord wanted me to at that time. Paul wrote concerning the comfort of the Scriptures. And at that time, they had only the Old Testament. Today, we have the Old, the New. We have the words of Christ and the words of the apostles. We have the experiences of men and women who have walked with the Lord. I'd like for us tonight to just consider what Zechariah had to say. And let you and me be encouraged. Because Jesus Christ is still the same today, and He'll be the same tomorrow. And as He visits us, He visits us to bless us, to help us. Could we tonight consider even a chastening from the Lord a blessing? A correction from the Lord a blessing? So thank the Lord tonight. You know the story, perhaps, of John the Baptist. His father was Zechariah. His mother was Elizabeth. And the angel visited Zechariah and told him about his son they were going to have. And Zechariah doubted to some degree. And because of that, it's proof that this, I believe it was Gabriel, who visited, or I'm not sure about the name of the angel, but he said, because you've questioned, because you haven't, it was Gabriel, because you have not thoroughly accepted this, you'll just not be able to talk till this deed is done. So sure enough, Zechariah was dumb from that point on until John was born. And it came time to name the child, and you know the story. Well, they all were assuming that Mary had instructions from Zechariah that they would name the child Zechariah after the father. And Mary shocked them, alarmed them, when she said his name will be John. And they started questioning her, and the Lord gave back John his speech, and he said his name is John. Gave Zechariah back his speech, and he said his name is John. So that's kind of where the story is right now. And listen to what Zechariah had to say in the 67th verse of the first chapter of Luke. May God help us tonight to take courage in the Lord. Here's what he said. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. The Holy Ghost came upon the man. The Holy Ghost filled the man. And from out of that came an outpouring of prophecy. And this prophecy is good news. This prophecy should be exciting to us. Let us take it in and eat this tonight and drink this tonight and absorb this into our soul, into our mind, and into our heart. And let's recognize that Jesus Christ is the same, and He wants to come today. And He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people. Thank God tonight that God is a visitor. God is one who knocks on doors. God is one that entreats us to let Him in. God walks around and wants to show Himself strong on behalf of everyone whose heart is perfect or leaning and looking and expecting from Him. Tonight, look for a visitation from God. As you travel this road, as you go through life, expect to find a visitation of the Lord. Learn, young people, to know His voice. Learn, children, to know His voice. May us that are older, may we know His voice. Was it Samuel who went twice, perhaps, to Eli, and he said, what is it, Lord? And the third time, perhaps, Eli understood, the Lord's calling this boy. The Lord's talking to him. And I believe he said, the next time he calls, say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Tonight, God visits His people. He visits us with good things and blessings and strengths. And He's wanting us to allow Him to give us gifts, to allow us to bless us. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for in His mercy, in His love, in His concern, in His consideration, in His recognition that I need help and you need help, that Israel needed help, that the church needs help, that people need help, that mankind in general needs help. The Lord has come down with His arms outstretched saying, come to Me. I've come to visit you and help you and encourage you. Lord, help us tonight to accept that visitation. Not say, I don't have any time now. Or not today. God is greater than any telemarketer. God has something to give us, not to sell us. God has something to redeem us with tonight. May we not put Him off. May we not be disinterested. The songwriter said, I know the sweet sound of Thy voice. Oh, tonight, may we know that sweet sound. And count it a blessing tonight. Count it a great blessing that God visits us. You know, it's a sad thing, to say the least, to be lonely. There's people in this world, right here in Guthrie, who never get a visitor. Never get anyone to come around. Lord, help us to visit. Because we've been visited. Do you remember this morning we talked about He'll comfort us that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted? Lord, help us to visit in the name of the Lord. Not so formally sometimes, but in our conduct, in our conversation, where we work. I was impressed, Brother Dan said, he had prayed many times for things, but he decided it was time to pray openly. That's a visit in someone else, that God is here and God is interested. People need to know and people need to believe that God is truly interested in their life. It's a sad thing, but praise God tonight that God is, it's a sad thing that more people don't know this, that more people won't accept it. But to us, He said that God has visited His people. And He came not just to see how we were doing, but to fix our problem, to give us strength, to give us the beauty from the ashes that we had made, to give us the oil of joy, to give us healing from the sickness of sin, the results of sin. 69th verse, He said, and He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. The Lord recognized that we needed to be redeemed. The Lord recognized that we needed a Redeemer. The Lord has recognized tonight that we're not strong enough. So the strength of the Lord came down and established His church. The strength of the Lord came down. The very Christ from heaven came down. And it said here in this visitation, He didn't come empty-handed. He didn't come with just, how you doing, I'm sorry, see you later. But He came with a remedy. He came with an aid. He came for deliverance. He came with the horn of the strength of salvation. And He raised it up for who? For us. In the name of Christ, in the name of the Lord, Christ came. Tonight, we've been visited. And God has brought with Him the strength of salvation, that we might be delivered, that we might have a comfort, that we might have joy, that our enemies be put to flight, that those things that were meant to harm us cannot harm us, that our swords can be beat into plowshares, that those things that were meant for man to be war and harm to others, we can turn them into instruments of righteousness by a change of the heart, by a change of the very soul of man. And have raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world begun. And this is what they taught, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. I know it's easy to look at this, and I'm sure the Jews did to some degree, to a big degree, as a nationalistic thing, as a national problem and a national disgrace. And they saw the Roman rule as the thing that they wanted. They chafed under that. They hurt under that. And their pride caused them to be antagonistic towards the Romans. But I'm glad that the Lord came with a greater vision, a greater deliverance, a greater strength of salvation from that than that. He has visited us for a far nobler reason. He has visited us for a greater and a more serious problem that we have. And that's sin. And that's the self life. And that's being used by the devil. That's being a tool in the devil's hand, that we might be saved from those that hate us and our enemies. May God help us tonight to recognize we've been visited with deliverance from sin, from the power of our enemies. Did you know so many times in fighting an enemy, people will match their cruelties with their own cruelty? They'll match their weaponry to correspond to the weaponry of the enemy. And it becomes a race, as we've heard called the arms race. And people will justify very inhuman things because you did it first. You did it first. I'm glad tonight that He visited us with deliverance from our enemies. But the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. But praise the Lord, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds against things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The Lord wants to come deeper than just literal enemies that might want to take 5 acres of our land or might speak an ill will or ill word towards us or that may want to slap us or hurt us in some way. God wants to recognize we have an enemy far greater than that, far greater than just an enemy that might try us for a season here. But we have an enemy that is wanting to damn every soul into hell, to a lake of fire, into a life of perdition. And praise God, we've been visited, folks. We don't have to serve sin any longer. Son of God has come to set us free. That's part of the message of the horn of salvation tonight, that we can be free from the sin of our life, from the sin of the devil. Tonight, in this visitation, the Lord didn't come empty-handed, as I said, but He came to establish something. And He came to establish upon the rock of faith and on the rock Christ Jesus, the church of the living God. And He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. He said that He would go away, but He would send to us another comforter. God did not leave us empty-handed, but He has furnished us with the weapons of our warfare. He has given us the armament of the Spirit of God. He has provided us everything that we need that we might be more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. This great God, this holy God, the only true God, has visited His people. And He said to us, and from the hand of all that hate us, praise the Lord tonight for the deliverance, and to perform the mercy promised to our Father, and to remember His holy covenant. I'm glad tonight that God is rich in mercy. I'm glad He understands our frame. And He's visited us in that context. He has visited us knowing that when I go down there, I'm going to find things totally unlike me. I'm going to find wars, I'm going to find attitudes, and I'm going to find sin. And maybe it appalled Him. And I'm sure many of them were abominations to Him. But He looked past that and He said, those people are in trouble. They are a sheep without a shepherd. They're in trouble and they need help. They don't know their left from their right. They don't understand how to get out of the dilemma. All they know is the flesh. All they know is carnality. And all they do is dig the hole they're in, the pit they're in, deeper. Oh, saints, let you and me recognize tonight God's got something better than carnal warfare and the carnal approach to life. So the Lord looked down on us and mankind and He said, they need pity. They need mercy. They're destroying themselves. They don't need me to come down and wipe them out. They're doing quite well at it themselves. What they need is mercy. They need me to come down and perform what I promised to Abraham. They need for me to bring in that child that was going to be given to us and the son that was going to be born. So He came down to perform mercy. Tonight, wherever we are, understand this. The visitation of the Lord is in mercy. Not willing that any one of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all of us would be saved. When the Lord visits you and the Lord visits me, it's in mercy. When the Lord visits us in correction and chastisements, it's in mercy. It's for our good, it's for our profit, that we might be sons of God. Tonight, enjoy the visit of the Lord. Learn the visit of the Lord. Appreciate the visit of the Lord. Welcome in the visit of the Lord. Give Him your best seat. Give Him the throne of your heart. Give Him complete right of way in your dwelling. Allow Him to go anywhere and do anything and make any changes He wants to make. Because He comes in mercy. He knows we need help. He knows we can't make it alone. He knows we're fearful. He knows we're prejudiced. He knows every man's ways is right in his own eyes. He knows we can't direct our own steps. He knows so much. He knows all about us, saints, and He loves us. May we tonight allow the visitation of the Lord to be the most grand thing that ever happened to us. The grandest of the grand, that the very God of heaven would come and ask to come in and sup with us. Ask to come in and dwell with us. Ask to come in and supply to us. To perform His mercies, to extend His mercies, that His mercies might mold us and shape us, humble us and touch us, that His mercies might create in us a new heart, His mercies might give us a new spirit, His mercy might take us out of those places of fear and the angers and pains that we're so tempted sometimes by. That His mercies would come down and clear up the thinking that our mind so gets in disheavals about. His mercies, they're new, they're rich, and they're blessed every day. The Lord has visited us. What a privilege today. Let's take advantage of it. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote, he said it was time to wake from our slumber. Maybe he was quoting the scriptures there. It's time for us individually. I don't put this out to say all of us. I'm just saying as individuals, awake from any slumber. The Lord is visiting His people. When we come together, the Lord has agreed to visit where two or three are. That's a blessing. Let's make Him welcome. Let's let Him know, thank You, Lord, for being here. And I believe we do. But let's feel the freedom and the liberty to just say, the Lord is here. And share what the Lord has told you. Share what the Lord has done for us. The Lord has come down and visited His people. What a blessing. And He stayed. You know, that's a wonderful thought. I suppose most of us literally enjoy company. But after a week or two, it's nice to have a house. Just you and the wife and the family. Maybe I shouldn't speak for you, but I might be pretty close. But this is a visitor that we ought to enjoy His perpetual company. The widow, was it the widow or was she a widow? No, she was the lady that Elisha healed the son. I get those two men mixed up. Elisha healed the son, and she fixed a little room for him. And put a table there, I believe, and a cot of some kind, maybe some writing instruments and different things, a desk. She provided a place for the prophet. Oh, is there room in our hearts tonight for a visitation from the Lord, the great God of heaven? Are we willing to make changes and say, Lord, abide. Don't leave. What do you need? What will make you comfortable? You visited us, and oh, we want you to stay. Come into my heart. Come in to stay, the songwriter said. Said that to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. You know, speaking carnally or thinking carnally, one might say, well, we've been delivered from the hands of our enemies, now we can do anything we want to. Those enemies are not there anymore. You know, I believe the Lord has something even better for us than just thinking we're doing our own thing. He said that we might serve Him as we were intended to do in the beginning. That you and me would have the stigma of sin removed. The guilt of sin that holds people back. The remembrances of sin that accumulate in people's minds, and the devil comes and accuses them to the point that they feel unworthy to serve the Lord. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed tonight. That we being saved out of the hands of our enemies, the other part is then that we might serve Him who has visited us. You see, when we were servants of sin, we did service to sin. But now, becoming servants to righteousness, we can serve the Lord. What a blessing. You know, the Lord said we can't serve two masters. That's a very uncomfortable place. Trying to ride the fence is a very uncomfortable ride. Being a double-minded person creates an instability in all of our ways. And it brings us less than joy. It frustrates us. It creates in us a heart of a frustration that sometimes we let it show, and we speak to others and demonstrate to others that frustration. The Lord said us being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, now we might be able to serve the Lord in holiness of heart, holiness of life, holiness of mind, and righteousness all the days of our life. God has visited us. And look what He came to do for us. He came to make all things new. He came to deliver us from our enemies. He came to make us acceptable at the throne of grace. He came to make our service and our worship, led of the Holy Ghost, acceptable unto Him. He came to open the prison doors. Let's go out and let's be free in the Lord today. Let's be led by the pastures green. He came to do that. For the Lord has visited and redeemed His people. He purchased us back. He didn't just unlock the door, fling open the doors, and say, do what you want and go what you want. He said, no, take up your cross now and follow Me. And He'd lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Isn't that wonderful when you think about the visitation of the Lord? What He came to do. What He came to continually do for us. All the days of our life, that you and me might serve Him without fear. Fear is the great tormentor, isn't it? Fear of what's going to happen. Fear of what someone will say. Fear I'll make a fool of myself. Fear of this, fear of that, fear of others, fear of the devil, an unholy fear of God, fear of failure. Fear, 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 it inundates people's lives and it holds people back. The Lord came to visit us and He said the truth will set you free. He said that perfect love, the love of God, enthroned in our hearts, not just passing by, but enthroned, the love of God will be able to deliver us. Do it without the fear of being judged. The fear of that so wants to creep in on us. If I'm singled out as a Christian, what will people think? Fear of the stigma of being called a Christian in a very uncivilized world we live in. Fear of being a standout for the Lord when it comes to righteousness. And I'm not accusing us of that. But the visitation of the Lord came to set us free from all manner of fear. All the fear that has ever intimidated a person, Christ came in his perfect love cast that out. Think of it this way. The Lord entering in to my heart of yours begins to renovate. Begins to look on the pieces of furniture and the articles that are there. The pictures on the wall and the carpet on the floor. He begins to look at the colors and the paintings and how you and me have allowed life to decorate us. He wants to visit. He wants us to be so happy and so glad he visited. And his promise of raising up a horn of salvation that we invite him in as king, as the one who reigns there. And then we allow him to begin to make those changes. As we are saved, as we've invited his presence of the Holy Ghost in us, allow the Lord then to purge. Allow the Lord to begin to prune. And that old fear will be one of those things that has to go. Those things that we thought were so necessary and we decorated our hearts and our minds with, he'll say, is this necessary? And we'll look at it and say, no, Lord, it's not. It's really troubled me by it being here. Do you want to get rid of it? Yes, I do, Lord. I want you to put something in there that's beautiful and it matches the decor of a holy sphere of your influence. And throw it out. He purges us. That it brings forth, that we bring forth more fruit. Tonight, oh, praise God for His visitation. Where would you be tonight, and where would I be tonight, had God not have visited us? We need to thank God for His visitation. We need to thank Him that He called on me. He called on you. He called on me that I had even backslid by Babylon standards. He called on my brother over here that was raised a Catholic. He's called on people in all manner of situations. Aren't you glad he visited us? Aren't you glad he called on us? Brother Juan Huerta's funeral. How he got a hold to, was it the book of Job? Just a little, a proverb, wasn't it? Just a little bit of the book of Proverbs. Don't you think he is glad God visited him? I knew a lady one time years ago. She was a Catholic. She had been placed in a Catholic orphanage. This was probably, I wouldn't be surprised if it was around the turn of the century, because I'm thinking 30 plus years ago. Turn of 1900. And they wouldn't even allow a Bible in the orphanage. Period. If I'm not mistaken, much of their services in those days especially was in Latin. So the priest could tell nursery rhymes and you wouldn't know what he was saying. One day, she was in, excuse me, but I'm going to just tell you where she was. She was in an outdoor toilet. And she got a little bit of the book of Isaiah. A young girl, 9 years old, 10, she said. She said that created such a hunger. She was at this orphanage. Such a hunger and a thirst. And as soon as she could, she broke free of that. Don't you think that lady's glad that God visited her? There was Bartimaeus. Don't you think he was glad that Jesus visited him? There was Zacchaeus. There was the man at the pool of Siloam. Don't we reckon tonight they were glad for that visitation? The 10 lepers. And on and on and on. Oh, may we tonight rejoice. The day star, the great Christ, has visited us. And we can serve Him now in holiness, in righteousness, without fear. all the days of our life. Why? Because His mercy came to visit us. In pity and mercy, He came down and said, "Let me help you." Tonight, if you're struggling, will you receive a visitation from the Lord? Will you allow Him to come in and sit down and reign? Tonight, if we're struggling with ourselves, will we receive the visitation of the Lord in His pity, His mercy, and let Him raise up in us the horn of His salvation? Then He speaks of, I suppose, of John. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of sin, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring on high hath visited us." Thank the Lord again. There's the thought. A visitation from God. What am I doing with it? What are you doing with it? I don't think any of us tonight are offhanded rejecting it. I would not say that about a person here. But are we fully letting it come in? Are we making the visitation of the Lord something He has to go through barriers to get to? Or is our heart open? Is our mind open? Is our emotions open tonight? Does the day star have a liberty? Does He feel welcomed when He comes in those special times and we need that special of visitation? Let's not be inhospitable. But let's say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come visit me. Come stay. Don't leave. I want you to be comfortable here. What kind of changes would you have me to make tonight so you will be comfortable? Is there something offensive about me toward you? I believe He told Peter, He said, "You're an offense to me." Is there something that in my life or yours that is an offense? Lord, I want to know. Because Your visit is the most important thing I possess. He said He has visited us from on high to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants to give us light. The light of the Word, the light of His Spirit, the light of His wisdom, the light of His counsel, the light of His knowledge, the light of His righteousness and holiness. The Lord wants to give light to us, to all men. And I don't believe the saints have sin. I know the saints do not have sin. But folks, if we're not careful, because we're human, we can have little dark areas. Not sinful areas per se, but little areas that are unlike God. Little areas that cause you and me to not enjoy all the rapture of the presence of the Lord. Prejudices, preconceived ideas, a little self-will, a hurt, a jealous feeling, a little fear, a little anxiety about life, about a small amount of selfishness, something that is just hindering the light from just cascading into every and beaming into every area of our life. Sometimes people have secrets. They become dark secrets. And I don't mean evil, malicious, deadly secrets, but embarrassments that they try to hide from God. God came to give us light, shine light on those places in our life. Not to ridicule us, not to harm us, no, but to set us free. That we may be able to serve Him in the beauty of holiness all the days of our life. That we might cast on Him our misgivings, our insecurities. That we might cast on Him those things that He highlights as being a detriment to your peace, a detriment to your joy. They're preventing you from being all that I want you to be, and you can be, from having the freedom of going in and out and finding pasture. the liberty that I've come to give you. The Lord, praise the Lord, in His visitation, He brings light. Doesn't bring darkness. The Bible said, and in Him is no darkness at all. Did you know heaven will not need a sun? Because the Lamb will be the light of that great city. He's got that light shining for us today, folks. He wants to come and shine in your hearts. He wants to come and shine in our minds. He wants to come and shine all through us. And He comes and visits us and wants us to say, oh, please, please, please come in. Come in to stay. Don't even think of leaving. I want to do everything. I'm so glad that You came into my heart. No reserve to myself, Lord. Everything in this that's mean now belongs to You. Those reserve places, folks, hinder us. Those reserves cause us difficulty. They are a hindrance to prayers. They are a hindrance from the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He came to give light. Praise the Lord tonight to them that sit in darkness. Think about my life. The Lord has been merciful to me. There's been dark areas of ignorance, dark areas of selfishness. But there came a time when He said, it's time now for my light to touch those areas. I'm not going to overlook this ignorance. You're capable by my grace of handling this now. Oh, yes, Lord. Maybe it wasn't that simple. But yes, Lord, shine Your light on it. I know now that You're able to keep that I've committed unto You. Lord, I don't want Your visit to ever end. I don't want You to ever say, it's all I can do. Goodbye. I've tried. I've attempted. We had some good times. But You never would open Your house up. You never would open Your heart up. And I can't work here anymore. I've got to go. He said that to a city. And He wept as He left. Because He knew what was going to befall them because they simply would not believe and accept His visit. He said, now. And I believe He said it with regret. Your house is left desolate. I want to tell you something. The last thing the Lord wants to do is leave us desolate. Folks, that's where we were before He ever knocked. We were desolate, lost, and without hope. Praise the Lord tonight for the visitation. I'm glad He visited me. I marvel, I truly marvel about and concerning the visitation of God to me. I won't go into details, but it is a marvel in my mind how it ever came to be, how it ever transpired. And I was just one of many lost souls. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I know this, the arm of the Lord is not short, that He cannot save. We're the hindrance then, and not God. We need to open our heart's door gladly and let His light shine down in us. It'll warm us. It'll free us. His visit will charm us. At least He wants to. His visit will transform us. His visit will be like they said, never a man spake this way on this wise. We've never seen it in this fashion before. And God will begin to work in our lives and in our hearts. And those things that hinder us and hurt us and prevent us, they'll begin to be cut off, pruned off, purged out, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What greater blessings can you ever think of than to have peace with God? And here's what this visitation will do for us. Not only will it guide us to the way, but once we're on the highway of holiness, no unclean thing there. He has the great wisdom and strength and power to keep us there. And His guidance will be in a way of peace. He'll say, "This is the way. Walk ye in." When we come to the decisions of life, He'll guide us in the way of peace. Why? Because we welcomed His visitation. Because His visitation, we recognized this is the pearl of great price. This is the treasure hid in a field. This is the thing that's worth more than any other thing. I'm going to sell everything I have because this is it. This is the visitation of the Almighty. And as we yield to that, He'll lead us in paths of righteousness. And what did He say here? And to guide our feet in the way of peace. We all need that. And we all want that. There's none of us here tonight, I would speculate, that says, "Not me. I like turmoil and ruckuses. I like uncertainty and fear. I like being angry and getting in someone's eye. Someone getting right back. I just enjoy that." I don't think any of us want to be in an uncertain condition, a doubtful, fearful condition. So now the Lord has come by to visit us, to guide us in the way of peace. I thank the Lord tonight for His visitation to me. Let you and me accept it. Let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. Let's invite Him in. Let's make every change that He is showing us. Let's allow His power, the horn of His salvation, to reign in us. Let's let His mercy tenderly lead us and teach us and minister to us. Let's allow the power of the Spirit of God that we might begin now to serve Him in righteousness and holiness and without fear. Not just momentarily. Folks, He's got keeping grace. He's got grace to keep us, secure us, and hold us. And let's let Him shine His light in every corner. Don't have any blinds. Don't have any dark shades to pull down concerning the light of God. But allow the Lord's light to just permeate us, saturate us, and enjoy being guided in peace and enjoy. Let's end with this. The Lord is asking us to enjoy. Do you remember? He had sent others. He said, "I know what I'll do. I'll send my Son, my only Son." And did you know what He was expecting and wanting? Perhaps they'll reverence Him. The Lord is coming to visit us, not to make us uncomfortable, not to hinder us, but that it will be such a pleasure and such a hope that we will welcome Him. See, He said that they will reverence Him. The Lord comes and says, "I want to come. I'm visiting you now. Will you let me in? Will you let me occupy you?" And may God open our eyes that we might see the value in that, that we'll reverence that visitation, that we'll count it all joy, that we'll be so happy that God Himself came down from heaven, saw me, the wretched man that I am, and said, "I love you. I want to visit with you. I want to come and occupy you." God wants us to enjoy His presence. So you pray for me. And I thank the Lord tonight for the visitation of the divine. Amen.